Them. Like Nathan McCall referred to the invaders. Them. The other people.
Your car is the main attraction. Look at the faces. White people are suspicious of black folks, and black folks are giving the white people the side eye.
Teen gentrification is fascinated. Sipping coffee, being nosy. Reminds me of how them all came this way after the LA riots for entertainment. It was crowded like Crenshaw used to be on Sunday, bumper to bumper.
Actually, it was much worse, but the police were nicer to the tourists than the locals.
Them came to photograph destruction and see what animals looked like without cages.
Jake Ellis's Haitian lover was out front with her husband, inspecting the damage to their 12-unit property. The husband was disgusted. His anger was strong enough to light up Crenshaw from one end to the other. So was she, but I bet she was worried about Jake Ellis at the same time. The older residents had come to see what had happened to the legacy of our African-American neighborhood. People who had been here for decades cried when they saw the damage. Might have resurrected old memories, old fears. Watts, L.A., Detroit. They remembered riots and fires. Outside of the bullet holes, the fire damaged the exterior, burned parts of the worn stucco. Even though it would have pleased Garrett to have burned Jake Ellis to the ground to get his revenge, the area didn't go up in flames like Black Wall Street. With the dry heat, with the dryness in the trees, with the way other parts of California were on fire, with what Garrett had done to the concrete jungle, we had been lucky. I found out that one of Garrett's wounded men had been in contact with the thugs who had been sent after my ex-wife. One of the wounded men's tasks had been to maintain contact with that two-man crew in the middle of all this madness. One of the thugs going after my wife was a Jamaican, and the other was this fool's cock-eyed, fresh-out-of-California correctional institution cousin. The wounded man saw what we had done to his co-workers. From where he was, he had probably seen Garrett get pushed down the stairs, probably saw Mrs. Garrett feeding Mr. Garrett a clip of hot lead. Or he had seen her and San Bernardino get their revenge. The wounded man wanted to trade information for his life. He could have had the secret to curing cancer in his back pocket. I didn't care. I just wanted to know what had happened to my ex-wife. I needed to know what the Jamaican and this motherfucker's cockeyed cousin had done to the mother of my only child. What the wounded man told me helped ease my angst and slow my heartbeat. He said that Garrett's bushwhackers had followed Jimmy Lee down Crenshaw near the entrance to the tent eastbound. They ran into her car, ran her off the road. Six lanes of traffic, a million cars. Homeless people camped out or in the intersections asking for spare change. A half dozen people with phones tried to record the accident, hoping for a world star moment. Plus, the sirens. There were always sirens screaming up and down the Shaw. Sirens made bad men feel uneasy, made a bad boy wonder what they would do when they came for him. Garrett's boys had sped away, left Jimmy Lee with a dent in the left rear quarter panel. They had bumped her car, that scam done to get people to stop before a carjacking. Or a murder. Garrett's bushwhackers would have brought her to Pasadena and thrown her into his drowning pool with me and his wife. Jimmy Lee had no idea what had almost happened. The wounded man assured me that Garrett's goons had failed, that his cousin and the Jamaican hadn't followed Jimmy Lee after the roadside mashup, and that my ex-wife was okay. He swore that on his mother's grave. And he said he had his cousin's number. I made him call, put it on speaker, listened, heard his cousin say it himself, heard the Jamaican confirm it too. They were frustrated she had gotten away. Luck had been on their side. Jimmy Lee was safe. The wounded man told his cousin and the Jamaican to hurry back to Garrett's estate. His cousin said they were getting off the Pasadena freeway. The Jamaican said they were no more than 10 minutes away. I killed the call. The wounded man begged me to let him go free. He didn't care what we did to his cousin and the Jamaican. The cousin was a relative by marriage, not by blood, and he'd sell the Jamaican up the river for a song. The wounded man saw it in my face. There was no way out. I beat him until Jake Ellis told me to quit, until San Bernardino said enough was enough. And while I was in that rage, I threw him into the deep end of the cement pond, drowned him for even thinking about harming the mother of my child. A few minutes later, his cockeyed cousin and the Jamaican were back at what, to me, was no better than Simon Legree's mansion.
They were tardy for the party, but I wasn't leaving until I saw them. We had business. Going to kill a woman? An innocent woman?
In my mind, they were no better than the henchmen Quimbo and Sambo in Uncle Tom's cabin. 5 minutes after they arrived, they were bloodied, battered, and broken, upside down in the deep end of the pool, surrounded by the dead, on the road to a bad man's Valhalla. I killed at least 3 men. 3 children of Africa. Black babies would be told they were fatherless. Black women would be told their lovers were dead. Their husbands were killed. Black mothers would have to bury their children. That would be if their bodies surfaced. There were no alligators in Southern California, but there were crematoriums. So they might just turn to dust. They would go missing, and even if they were reported missing, nobody would ever look for missing black men, not even on Facebook. That missing black men special would never air on CNN. Black men went MIA, and the world assumed a brother was on lockdown visiting his best homies, maybe a few long-lost family members, at Club Fed, taking advantage of 3 hots and a cot, furnished by the kind, melanin-free people who brought us black folks' mass incarceration. Hard to find anyone from Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan Chase with the same accommodations. I'd been beaten, kicked, shot at, and almost drowned. All since dinner time. Like a fairy godmother, San Bernardino would make everything vanish. Bodies would burn, all except the carcass of Richard Garrett. San Bernardino had to be cleverer. Clever was in her conniving blood. A missing white man was not a missing black man. A missing rich white man was a missing god worthy of weeks of news coverage. San Bernardino's men had wrapped Garrett and loaded the man from Princeton in an SUV. He reeked like South Boston. Maybe all Southies smelled that way this time of day. Richard Garrett was cooling off in the same SUV that I was brought home in. He was in the back, rotting, the smell of death covering us. Jake Ellis did a dozen African finger snaps as he left the SUV. He left without saying goodbye, but that didn't bother me. My mind was already in another place. Would have to face Rachel. I'd been MIA all night long, and I still had other problems that had to be dealt with. I had them drop me off in the alley behind my home. Then I eased up the rear stairs to my back door. Chapter 32. When I jerked awake 2 hours later, the sun was screaming, but the curtains were closed. Kept the bedroom as dark as midnight. I ached too much for 1,000 milligrams of Tylenol to keep the pain at bay. My injuries were robust, couldn't be washed away when I showered and scrubbed blood from my hands. I was in bed, buck naked. Garrett's death stench was in my nostrils, and I still smelled his wife's pain. I'd been asleep only off and on for 10 minutes at a time at the most, if that long. I kept jerking awake, expected to be back in the deep end, trying not to drown. Now, as I have for 2 decades, I expected to hear the cops knocking at my door. Margot would be with them, pointing, repeating the name Balthazar Wachowiak. That recurring dream was why I woke up, wanting to scream like the sun. Jake Ellis had always been made for this shit more than I was. I wondered about Mrs. Garrett. I saw her hobbling out of her cage, a creature in a Stephen King novel, then shoving a zookeeper down the stairs. Garrett took an ugly fall. Then I visualized his wife limping down the stairs, entranced, and popping her abuser until her pretty pink gun went dry. Her husband was dead, and the woman who had married up, only to have a unilateral prenup, was free. But now she was indebted, in bed with San Bernardino. I needed to break free. I'd been in that bed for 2 decades. I'd grown dependent, had become comfortable. Rachel Redmond rolled over on her belly, licked the inside of her mouth for a while, then groaned. She stretched and played with her braids. She reached for her phone and turned it back on, put in her password. Alerts came in rapid succession. Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram.
In her morning voice, she said,
"They want every black football player to boycott for one game. Solidarity for 1 week. To prove that patriotism isn't red, white, and blue, but green."
Hiding pain the best I could, I said, "You're going to sing the national anthem."
Feels like they set me up to be on the FBI's black identity extremist list.
Good thing you speak Spanish. You might have to flee to Cuba.
You're right. This could end my career. They will take my passport and black card.
After the last few hours, all of that felt irrelevant. I didn't care who kneeled or who stood up to take a shit. I didn't care about the Russian. I was glad Jimmy Lee didn't end up like Garrett. I'd never be able to speak that out loud, and I still had to deal with Margot. Rachel Redmond started singing, loud and obnoxious, then said,
"I need another shower."
She eased out of the bed, yawned her way to the bathroom, scratching her ass. She started vocal warm-ups, always loud in the morning. I limped to the kitchen, came back with coffee from the Keurig, and water. I hurt so bad that she had showered, changed the linen again, and was back under downy fresh sheets by the time I came back from the kitchen. She had nodded off again. Rachel Redmond barely opened her eyes.
"You put honey in it?"
"Lots of honey in your coffee. Black and sweet, like you."
"This is why I love you."
She handled the coffee. I sipped the water until I had flashbacks from the pool. Alaska turned to me.
"Did we have sex last night when we got back here?"
Feeling half past dead, I cleared my throat and asked, "What do you remember?"
"Being at the bar, being in the Uber, the driver telling me to stop touching you."
"You showed your ass from the club back home."
"When you have a moneymaker that looks this nice, why not show it?"
"I'm sure it's online, all over social media, screaming for attention and likes."
"All over my Instagram page. I'm in the gym doing squats, motivating my sisters."
"You know men pull up your images and jack off to a wreck."
"Women do, too. Just keeping it real." "Well, look at me. I am pretty hot. Last night I was so hot the sun called to beg for its heat back."
"The bar. The Uber. That's all you remember?"
"Singing, dancing, your finger. The Uber driver telling us to stop kissing, then waking up."
"Did you hear the fire trucks last night?"
"What fire trucks?"
"There was a car fire up the street. Apartments, too, on the next block toward Crenshaw."
"That alcohol and Kush had me. I was out like Dr. Conrad Murray had given me propofol, or Bill Cosby had given me jello shots."
"Tell me what you did to me while I was sleeping, you pervert." "You remember decorating the hallway and making the paint peel off the bathroom walls?"
"I don't want to talk about that part of last night."
"You turned my bathroom into a bodacious chitlins factory."
"I hate you, Ken Swift."
She sipped her coffee.
"You forgot my birthday. You'll have another one? Lord willing, and the creek don't rise."
"Make sure you remind me the day before."
"This has been the worst birthday I've ever had."
"Whatever."
"Wait, fire trucks? What fire trucks? And an apartment caught on fire?"
"You're not awake yet. I think you still got too much alcohol in your blood." She squinted as she checked her messages, made faces, laughed, deleted messages she didn't want me to ever see, the ones scribbled in Russian. She made duck faces, took selfies, moved her braids this way and that way, made me get in and fake a smile, morning breath and all. She wanted to post them so her cyber world would know she'd had the best birthday ever. She started singing again, not loud, always singing. Pain rolled down my side. I rubbed my chest, still smelled chlorine in my pores, still smelled a rich man's death in my nostrils. Rachel said,
"You never told me where you were all day yesterday."
Knowing she would eventually find out,
I told her about yesterday.
About Margot. My life. My past. I told her a lot of it, but not all. I was up front. Didn't hide who I was. I gave her the option to be here or walk away. She had chosen to be here, with me, not with the Russian. With a big smile, she said,
"Your daughter actually called you? I'm happy for you. I hope I can get to meet her one day. I can tell her how wonderful you are, counter the lies she's heard."
I told Rachel a bit more, revealed how the sit-down lunch had quickly gone south.
$50,000? Did your child fall and bump her head on a crack pipe?
I described the mohawk, the tats, the piercings, the attitude. Rachel asked,
"Was her mother there? Did she come along for the fun?"
Yesterday at lunch, it was just me and my daughter. Then I told her a little more about how I'd been ambushed on Stalker.
The idiot banging at your door was her bae, and you had to give Stupid a beatdown in front of the building because he was mad that she was mad at you for putting her in her place?
Well, he'd better be glad Jake Ellis wasn't with me when I came home.
That boy would have ended up on a meat hook being used as an African punching bag.
I never should have told you about that.
Everything you use to do your dirty work is sold at Home Depot?
Nail guns, sledgehammers, saws, chains, shovels, plastic. One-stop shopping.
I needed to know why you go away to places and I can't ever go with you.
There is no other woman.
I know that now. I've broken into your apartment and gone through all of your emails and personal belongings. It's disappointing for a sister to work so hard to bust her man and then find nothing. I mean nothing. Nothing here that made me think you are anything like Jake Ellis.
I'm not going to ask when you broke in my spot. Not going to ask how many times before yesterday.
There is nothing for the popo to find if they kicked down the door and tossed it like a jail cell. If there were, I made it vanish and end up in a neighbor's trash can. You can thank me later.
I live the life of a poor man. That's all they'll see. I live like almost everybody else in the zip code, from paycheck to paycheck. Always $50 short for the month.
What's on our agenda today?
Have to get away. Some business came up while you were sleeping. You can't go.
Where are you going?
I have to go meet with San Bernardino. Her tone turned serious.
You told me you were stopping this lifestyle, Ken Swift.
I did. You're right. I do need to stop. It's gone on too long.
But you never stop.
Like Bills, I never stop. Being hungry keeps you in the game.
You lied to me. You lied to me to my face.
I did stop.
You've had long breaks. A vacation is not the same as stopping.
They needed a favor. You know I rise when the eagle flies. She was restless.
I'm going to save you. I don't know how, but I'm going to save you. Get your passport. Leaving California, getting you out of America, that would be the first step.
Jeez, Rachel, don't do this to me.
I don't want anything from you but your time and your love. Am I asking for too much?
I've never had a woman love me like that before.
It's kind of scary.
And beautiful.
Stop talking. I might start crying. I'm ugly when I cry.
I look like a chocolate gerbil. I needed to get up. Had things to deal with, but I collapsed in the bed with her. Rachel pulled me closer, offered me her breasts. I suckled one nipple and pinched the other. My hand found its way between her legs, and with two fingers, I made her dance like she was on the sun. My mind tried to take me back to the house of corpses I had left behind. Rachel asked,
"You okay?"
"I'm fine." I eased on top of her, and we kissed, dry-fucked, warmed up. I sucked her nipples and made fire. She pulled her ankles back to the sides of her ears. I positioned her at the edge of the bed, dropped a pillow on the floor, and got on my knees. She made the sweetest honey. Her eyes rolled, and she lost her breath. Rachel wrapped her feet around my calves and anchored herself to me. My body hurt, but I stayed like that, inside her, filling her up, kissing her, while she drove me wild. I moved her braids from her face and sucked her lips. It hurt my lips to suck hers. Bushwhackers had beaten me good. As good as Africans had once upon a time. She asked,
Why did you stop moving?
I had almost been murdered. Had killed 3 men. Pain rose. So did exhaustion. I told her. I'm dead tired.
Hangover?
Just tired.
You're going soft.
Rain check.
Nope. Let me fix that. We're not having a deflate gate this morning.
She pushed me off her, went down south, her oral fixation so intense and sloppy I called out like I was being tortured. She looked at me and smiled, stroked like Superhead, teabagged, gagged, did it all. When her jaw ached, she took to her belly, raised her bottom, as she smiled. I said, fuck, damn. You know what I want to say, right?
I know. I give hair like a white girl.
Then I was bareback, in Italy, on the wildest of wild horses, competing in the Palio di Siena. Mississippi rode Alaska hard, tried not to be thrown off at the treacherous turns in the piazza, stayed with her as we fell from the bed, took her to the floor, out of the bedroom, and down the hallway. Didn't want her to finish unmounted. My daddy was a jockey. And I knew how to ride. Sex dulled the pain, made me feel better, became a much-needed analgesic. I carried her back to the bed, put her face down, ass up, grabbed her braids like reins. Skin slapped and Rachel grabbed sheets. You got me. Damn, you got me. I said her name like I did when I was close to coming. Rachel,
come in me, come in me. I want to feel you come deep in me.
I didn't want to let loose a flood of baby-making inside her. Had flashes of my married life, flashes and thunder in my heart as I stroked like a madman, felt a wave that reminded me of trials and tribulations, thought about the freedom Jake Ellis had had all of his life, about all I had given up, didn't want to be enslaved again, didn't need any more responsibilities or obligations, told myself to invade Africa, to come in her ass, or on the sheets, or on her breasts, her face, her feet, or every drop. But she worked it. And it felt too good to do anything but come inside her. She put her palms against the headboard, dominated me, had the bed rocking and rolling, the headboard banging like a drum, her moan saying she was ready for jazz. She booty popped me to heaven. And as my toes curled, another evil arrived. Evil banged on my door like it was the cops, or a herd of Citronella Nazis carrying tiki torches. That made me slow my roll, but Rachel reached back, put her nails in me, told me not to stop. Trouble and hard times banged the door, and my headboard did the same to the wall. As the chocolate Alaskan with Eritrean roots worked me into a frenzy, as dark skin slapped dank skin and moans collided, I knew that this wasn't over. Chapter 33. Rachel Redmond grabbed one of my collared shirts, put it on like a robe, only buttoned one button, wanted whoever saw her to see her TNA and know that the man in this apartment was already taken. When she pulled the curtains back and let in a shock of sunlight, she finally saw my body, saw bruises the bushwhackers had left behind. My face was swollen, bruises were on my torso and legs, the knot on the back of my head spoke to me in tongues.
The fuck?
Her face was in shock.
What the fuck? The fuck happened to you?
Rough sex.
You weren't bruised up like that when we came home.
I know. I had to step out for a bit when you were sleeping.
On my birthday?
You were sleeping.
You got out of bed and went to work?
Work came to me.
Fucking San Bernardino.
It didn't start with San Bernardino, but it ended with San Bernardino.
What the hell happened while I was sleeping?
Long story.
You left me in your bed on my birthday?
Rachel.
Is that who's at the door?
Could be cops. Could be trouble like it was last night.
Are you serious? Take my gun. You are serious.
If you're going to the door before I get dressed and ready, take my gun.
What's the number to call bullshit?
Why the attitude?
I bet that's some thirsty thought thumping at your damn door.
She went to the living room, 38 in hand, before I was dressed. I changed my mind, yelled for her to wait for me to open the door. Her skin was still damp, and she smelled like hot love and interrupted orgasm wrapped around sudden concern and profound anger. The swarthy Eskimo wanted any woman who had dared come to my door this early to know that this was her goddamn territory. She had cheated on me with the Russian,
and was still convinced I had a chick on the side. Her guilt needed me to be as wrong as she was so she could validate herself, could have a reason to keep that expensive guitar her other lover had dropped in her lap for her birthday. I was away from Garrett, back to dealing with my personal life. She had searched, needed me to have another lover. Her wish had almost come true last night. I would have crossed the pond because of that guitar. I would have crossed that pond to make myself feel better. But instead, I almost ended up drowning in a pond in a former sundown town. I looked out the window, saw Bernice. She saw me and walked away. Then she came back, laughing, her company at her side, his arms around her. I walked away from my window. Rachel Redmond opened the front door, and attitude filled up the apartment. Negativity came in like a monsoon. There was chatter out front. I had to wait for my erection to wane. Even after I came, it took a moment. I didn't want to run to the door fluffed, especially if it was the cops. Slave catchers would yell I had a gun in my crotch, and then I'd be the next resident of hashtag city. Rachel took her temper to the door, and I took my aches and pains to the bathroom, washed up, cooled down, wiped sweat from my brow. I put on a fresh pair of joggers and a Black Panther t-shirt. I could barely stay upright. My house had gone silent. Then Rachel Redmond called.
Sweetheart, can you come here, please?
What's wrong?
Come tell me who this thirsty thought is, the one who was thumping at your damn door.
When I stepped into the living room, I saw that my next problem was waiting, dressed in leggings and a red hoodie, her hair now four shades of green with blues and pinks, covered with a pink scarf, almost like a hijab. Margot was here. Like her mother, she had a lot of nerve.
Chapter 34.
I guess I felt the same way Garrett did when he came home and saw me and Jake Ellis in his kitchen. Margot was seated on the big sofa, all tats and body piercings on skin pastier than the flesh of Mrs. Garrett. Rachel Redmond was across from her on the love seat, my .38 on the small table next to her, the barrel pointed toward a wall. Anger danced with embarrassment. Rachel Redmond said,
"She said she's here to see you."
"That's Margot." Swallowing disbelief, she said,
"This is your daughter?"
"That's my daughter. All grown up."
"Oh, my God. I am so sorry I called you a thirsty thought."
Margot adjusted her red Gap hoodie, said,
"You know Rachel Redmond?"
Rachel Redmond was surprised.
"You know me? I recognize you."
I corrected Margot's etiquette. "Good morning."
"Good morning."
"That's better. You don't just walk into people's homes and start talking." She repeated,
"Good morning."
"Good morning, Margot."
"You know Rachel Redmond?"
"I know her. She stops by to answer my door every now and then."
"With a gun?"
"In case a thought shows up, thinking nasty thoughts."
"You're really Rachel Redmond?" "Yeah, I am. Nice to meet you."
"Wow. I've heard a lot about you."
"Have you?" "You are all Ken ever talks about. Feels like I already know you." "I know about you. Well, sort of. I have one African parent, another from Mississippi, grandparents from all over, but I was born in America. You talked about being the first generation of your family in America, being trapped between new ways and old traditions in one of your YouTube videos. I think you spoke and sang in Amharic, Spanish, French, and Russian." "You watch my YouTube videos?"
"Well, yeah. I subscribe to your channel. You haven't posted anything in a while." I let my fist hit the door frame. "Margot." They looked at me, and I stared at the child who had threatened me a day ago. I cleared my throat. Y'all running a good tag team on me. You here for money? Are you coming at me because I had to put my paws on the fool you say you're having a baby with? Rachel Redmond said, Kenneth Purnell Swift. Margot asked,
Did my boyfriend beat you up like that?
I asked Margot, Where is your pit bull? Rachel didn't like my tone and said, Kenneth Purnell Swift. Margot answered me,
He's in the car. Kevin is in the car.
I asked, Is your mother with you too?
No, she's not. Kenneth Purnell Swift.
Stop saying my name.
Answer me.
Rachel, your phone is ringing over and over in Russian. Why don't you answer that? Rachel smiled at Margot.
Nice to meet you, Margot.
Nice to meet you, Rachel Redman.
Rachel. Nice to meet you, Rachel.
I asked, So why are you at my door this early in the morning? Rachel stepped in.
Ken, a moment, please.
Rachel disappeared into the bedroom, and I regarded Margot, my child. She couldn't choose her father, and I couldn't choose my child. She looked at me like she knew I had just killed a league of bushwhackers and a misguided soldier to stay alive. She looked like she wanted her $50,000. No, her look was desperate, not malicious. She looked at me like she needed her $50,000. I nodded, then turned and followed Rachel, her arms folded across her chest, her back to me. When I pushed open the door, Rachel Redmond turned around, and she had tears in her eyes.
I knew why. My daughter. The bleached skin, the self-loathing, the self-hate.
She asked,
You're going to be a grandfather?
Go shower.
Jesus, she saw me looking like this, fresh off her daddy's penis.
First impressions.
And my breath smells like sex.
Nobody told you to run your jealous ass to the door.
With a .38 in my hand like I'm a hood rat and sex breath like a hooker.
Her phone vibrated.
Why is the Russian calling you over and over, Ken?
He blew up your phone all evening, all night. Now he's calling all morning.
Ken, is there something I need to know?
He's just jealous. Just don't Jimmy Lee me, Rachel. I can't take being Jimmy Lee'd all over again. She swallowed, pulled at her braids.
What happened when you left here last night?
People died. I didn't. That's what happened.
You had fun without me?
Well, next time someone tries to kill me, I'll get you an invitation. She took a breath.
Talk to your child. She is what's most important at this moment. I can see she's scared. Real scared. Be her dad. Be nice, even if she is mean. She's in pain.
So am I. But no one seems to care. No one has ever cared.
I care. I wouldn't have been here waiting when you came home if I didn't.
With a gun in your hand.
In case you had walked in with a thought. And if I had walked in with a thought, would have shot her without a second thought.
Everyone is lying to me.
What do I have to lie about?
You tell me. She pulled her lips in.
Ken, cruelty only breeds cruelty. Don't be cruel. Not right now.
Go answer the Russian. I went back to the living room. Margot stood up, nervous. Still in awe, she said,
That was Rachel Redman.
She stops by to wear my shirts every now and then.
The first joke about her answering the door was better.
What's going on? I guess you came to tell me off or collect money. Which is it?
I was angry.
So was the guy who knocked you up.
I've been angry with you a long time. He knows that. When you feel that way and tell someone who loves you, knows you, that you feel that way, when they have heard the negativity, nothing but the bad things, they tend to become overly empathetic, if not simpatico. And without having all the information in the matter, they take your side, adopt the same feelings.
Why? What have I ever done to piss you off?
I felt abandoned by you. He's heard me talk about that for years.
For years?
We met when I was in high school.
He's been your boyfriend since then?
Not since then, but he's loved me since then.
Since before the guy you went to meet at the Grove? Who was that guy?
He was my first boyfriend.
Your first love?
Yeah, my first love.
You know which one you're pregnant by?
I know.
This money you need have anything to do with that?
Yes and no.
Thanks for clearing this issue up.
It's hard to talk about.
Why?
I feel stupid. It's embarrassing.
Who knows the truth?
Me. My boyfriend. And my ex.
And the girl who was with your ex yesterday. She looked surprised.
A girl was with him?
I described her.
She said, that was his new girlfriend.
What does she have to do with this?
Nothing that I am aware of.
We sat in silence. I said, you see me as a stranger.
You were never there.
I was there. Until your mother and her family took you away, a lot happened when I met your mother. A lot of ugly things. But to keep it short, I'll take the blame for everything bad.
All I know is what my grandparents told me. They never said anything good about you.
That's like listening to your president talk and expecting to hear the truth.
My mother never defended you.
What did she say about me?
Nothing. She never mentioned you. I asked her to tell me things, but she would get angry or walk away. She was angry because she never got a chance to go to Harvard.
Hugh grew up on lies, grew up listening to a story about a fairy tale gone bad.
I don't know what the truth is.
You don't. No, you don't.
And to be honest,
maybe I don't either.
She put her hand on her belly. I'm sorry that my boyfriend came here to fight.
He said you're engaged.
Sort of.
I don't see a ring.
Well, we had to sell my ring.
Why?
Needed the money.
No ring.
Not at the moment.
Then he's your boyfriend.
Until we get another ring.
She rocked, and I saw the fear loosening, but she still wouldn't say what was going on. I didn't push the issue, but didn't let it go. Scared?
You're trying to add this up. I see you taking in everything I say, and you're trying to figure out what is going on. You want to know why I contacted you and asked for money.
You're scared.
A little.
A little?
I'm scared to tell you what I'm mixed up in.
But your boyfriend knows.
He knows all about it. He's trying to help me any way he can.
You love him?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Love when you're ready, not when you're lonely.
I love him. I love Kevin.
Not because you're pregnant.
I loved him before I was pregnant.
I hope he writes better than he fights.
He's a great writer. He studied under screenwriter James Thick.
I shrugged, had no idea who that was, and didn't give a shit. Silence. Awkwardness. She said,
I'm pregnant. My hormones are out of whack.
Your mother was the same way.
Was she?
She was. After you were born, she was depressed a long time.
She was? I didn't read that part of her journals.
Not yet, anyway. Silence. I said,
you have to stop delaying and tell me. First off, I came at you the wrong way yesterday.
She swallowed.
I re-explained what happened, and Kevin said I should apologize for being such a brat.
No need to. What's done is done, and we can move on.
We should apologize.
I should, too.
My complexion surprised you.
It did. Silence.
People treat me better.
I believe you. Silence. Then I nodded. I've been up all night, running on fumes. She motioned like she was getting up.
We can do this another time.
No, stay.
You sure?
Would hate for 10 more years to go by before I saw you again.
Sorry I threw my snot rag in your food yesterday.
I'm sorry too, but it probably gave it more flavor.
My mom came here?
I nodded. She went back and got her PhD.
She did. Good for her. Did you ever go back to UCLA?
No, not yet. She nodded.
I told her I had gotten in contact with you.
I nodded.
She came to get in line with everyone else to tell me off. I'm sorry.
So, you have a little brother? She nodded.
Johannes is his father.
I shook that off. Tell me why you're scared. Anything to do with your stepfather?
No, he's never been very nice to me, but he's never been mean to me either. Stop procrastinating. Tell me what's going on. I didn't come here to talk about that. I really didn't.
I know you ain't here to talk about the lack of recursion in 16th century Germanic poetry.
Arms folded, body language closed like a petulant child. She said, I came to apologize.
This early?
I was up all night. Yesterday was the worst day of my life.
You need a lot of money.
She looked at my apartment, at how I was living. You don't have a lot of money.
You said you're charging me 70 to keep your mouth shut.
I just need the 50. That's all I need. Tell me why you need it. Doesn't matter. If you don't have it, then it's pointless talking about it.
You're my daughter.
It's my problem. It matters, not yours. You matter.
She shook and cried.
Can we start over?
After you tell me the truth about this money you need.
Saliva and angst glued her lips together. I'm scared to say why.
Why? You're not scared to ask for that much money?
You'll see me differently.
You have to say. She pulled a tissue from the pocket of her hoodie, blew her nose. Then she went on, leg bounced as she picked at her cuticles.
Yesterday you scared me because I guess I rambled, said too much, and you got part of it, right?
Which part?
The gambling. You picked up on that real quick, so fast it scared me.
So this is a gambling debt.
Part of it. Money was spent betting on a long shot. I lost. I prayed on it, Googled it, read about long shot Super Bowl bets that could cost a Las Vegas sports bookie big money. And all I needed was one long shot to come through. I lost the USC bet. Me and my boyfriend took a chance. Kevin and I prayed on it. Last month we had put our last $3,000 on another team that was going at 100-1. $3,000 would have gotten me and my fiancé $300,000.
That was a foolish bet.
It was a long shot, yes, but if I had won, then I would have been a genius.
Your Hail Mary was yesterday when you gambled against USC and lost.
I had to try one more long shot.
Why?
Because the other part was true, too.
Which other part?
I'm being blackmailed. I had to gamble and try to pay the blackmailer
for the $50,000.
It's up to about that much now.
Is this a group, an organization, or an individual you owe?
A person.
Who is this person? Tears fell harder. The dam was loosening, soon to burst and flood the room with truth. She cried and cried and cried, and I didn't reach out to comfort her or coddle her. I couldn't be her father right now. I had to be that other guy, the one who worked for San Bernardino. I said, talk. Did this blackmail thing just start?
No, it's been going on for a while.
What's a while?
Almost a year now.
And now they are asking for more money.
One person, just one. You saw him at the Grove.
He ran away when he saw you. What does that guy in the red BMW have on you?
You saw his car? How? You were with me. I didn't see his car.
Don't talk to me like I'm dumb. Talk to me like you know I know the truth.
I can't say.
You will say, or I will find out on my own.
How did you find me yesterday?
Not your business. Just know I can find you if I need to find you.
Then why haven't you looked for me all these years?
Maybe I did, and just didn't recognize your new face. She moved like she was insulted, wanted to stand up. I said, sit down, Sagarita. If you leave, I can find you. You can't hide from me. She did as she was told, crying, pulled more tissues from her hoodie, I asked, "Where is that boy from?"
"Kevin?"
"The one in the red car."
"He's from Morocco. Well, his parents are. He's first gen here, like me."
"What does he have on you?" Again, silence. My frustration mounted. I was exhausted, ready to throw her in the streets.
"Ken?"
That was Rachel, coming back into the room.
"Do you mind?"
She was fresh out of the shower. We had talked long enough for her to clean up and put on lotion that made her smell good. She wore leggings and a top, both by Nike, had her braids pulled back. That was how she usually dressed during the day, like she was about to hit the gym. Rachel said,
"Margot?" "Yeah?" "Your daddy is trying to help you." "I know. He just wants to help you. Forget what you've heard. He's a good man."
Margot nodded. She trusted the kind words of a stranger more than she did me. Rachel tenderly asked,
"Have you had to pay more money each time?" "It started off being about 500. Was he supposed to sell or give you something to make this end?" "Something like that. Or delete it?"
She didn't answer, but her body language told us Rachel had touched a nerve. Rachel asked,
"Is it a video?"
It took a second.
"I didn't know about it until after we broke up."
Rachel asked,
"To be clear, is this an illegal activity, like a political scandal? A video of you stealing something? Did you run over someone in your car? Is it a Kardashian number?"
My daughter trembled.
"I wish it was political. I wish it were a hit and run. It won't be the end of the world. It feels that way to me. I have disappointed so many people in so many ways."
Rachel said,
"Margot, you have to say. No need to be embarrassed." "It's a Kardashian number. Please don't make me say any more than that."
"That you didn't know about."
She nodded, eyes on the floor, crying.
"He secretly recorded us. I can't let my mother, can't let my grandfather and grandmother, my sibling, my stepfather, friends of my job. And he has threatened to tell them all. It would destroy me. He knows that would destroy my family."
Rachel said,
"And now your first love wants $50,000.
"We have paid him month after month. That's why we're broke. My fiancé has sold camera equipment. We've been late on rent. First month, he wanted 500. But 2 weeks later, he wanted twice that again. After that, it's been between $1,000 and $3,000 a month. I gave him over $20,000 last year. I've used my savings. So now he's up to over $40,000. And I need money to pay back rent and other bills. And I don't know what else to do."
"Does he want you back? Is that what this is all about?"
"I don't know. I don't love him."
"I need you to be sure."
"Who could love a man who would do such a thing to them?"
I said, "So you got to the end of the road, let him bleed you dry, tried to be a gambler, failed at gambling, let desperation take over, and you came after me."
"I read Mom's journals. They were hidden. I found them, and I read them to know her better, and then I read things about you. I read things that I knew couldn't be true, but they were."
"You read about Florida in one of her journals?"
"It was written in Amharic. She said you were a bad man and always had a lot of money."
"You said that man's name."
"And then you reacted. I knew what I had read in my mama's journal was true."
"Then no games."
"No games."
"Do you have any idea who Balthazar Wachowiak was?"
"I just know he went missing, and my mother's note said she thinks you killed him. She wrote about it in a different way from the other stuff. When she wrote about that day, she was terrified. She cared about you, but knew she couldn't stay with you, not even for my sake."
"Her notes. She wrote about what happened in Florida, in Amharic.
And there was a newspaper clipping, old and faded, about that businessman."
"What else her notes say?"
"The postman. She called someone the postman, but that part made no sense.
I had called myself that once or twice back in the day. I asked, how did you think it would go when you came at me with that?
I hoped you would give me the money and go away.
How long did you sit on that idea?
I came up with it 10 minutes before I called you.
10 minutes. That's all.
10 minutes before I called you, my ex called me with his new demand.
For the 50,000. That was when my phone chimed. I nodded at Rachel. She nodded in return, then left us, letting the estranged father have a moment with his wayward daughter. Went to the bedroom to answer my phone. I stood facing my daughter. She reached in her pocket, handed me a tissue. I wiped my eyes. She said,
all we need now is some soup.
Soup can't fix everything.
No, it can't.
You saw this sex tape?
Parts of it. Saw enough of it. He showed it to me on his phone. It's on the cloud.
Is it worth $50,000?
It ruined my career at JPL. That one moment would follow me to my grave. It would follow me to grad school and beyond. My friends, my family. I can't have them see me like that. I can't have people just Google my name and see me in a way like that. I can't allow that to happen.
This ex, what is he worth to you?
Not a goddamn thing.
And you're pregnant.
Yes.
She used the last of her tissues.
Between my money and my fiancé's money, I've given my ex over $20,000. I've gone days with no food over this. I've had to act like everything is fine. I had to pull away from my mother so she wouldn't be able to tell I was in trouble. Can't have my mother over and see I have no food. Can't let her see I have no furniture left and we're sleeping on the floor because I've sold piece after piece on Craigslist. I have this lease with my landlord that we're keeping up in order to save face, and I can't afford to keep that up. I gambled and won $1,000, and that put food on the table, and I thought I could keep doing that. Then I lost 3 games in a row. I can't do shit right now. Nothing is right in my life. We have a movie we can't sell to make money. When will it end?
I said, once started, blackmail never ends.
I see that now.
Do the tats and body piercings have anything to do with this?
Kevin does tats. He did all of mine. He does that part-time at Heavy Gold Tattoo on 8th. I started tats after the blackmail. It was my idea, not Kevin's idea. If my ex released the video, I didn't want to look like the girl in the tape. I did a couple. Then I guess I got addicted to the pain.
The bleaching?
People treat light-skinned people better.
On the video, you black or white, or some hue in between? She asked.
Am I ugly to you? No, you're beautiful. My skin?
I don't approve,
but I don't have to. You're a grown woman.
Silence. She said,
Rachel Redmond is beautiful.
She is.
She looks like my mother.
I don't think so.
A more fun version of my mother.
Your mother used to be fun.
What happened?
Me. I changed her life before you were born. She will never let me live that down.
Welcome to the club.
I know how she felt. I only saw things my way, never saw things her way. It was my fault.
I read her journals. She was happy, then unhappy. I think she is happy now.
Your skin. I put us back on track. What hue? In the video.
I'm darker. My birth color. But my friends and family will know it's me.
You should have come to me with the truth. A year ago.
I don't know you.
Know me or not, you're my daughter. You need to understand that.
I wanted to kill myself.
Don't spread that into existence.
Past tense. But I'm pregnant. I can't do that to my baby, or my mother, or my fiancé.
Your ex put you in this position.
Surprised me. I thought he loved me.
He loves money. People who love money will hurt anyone to get it. They don't hesitate to screw people over. I bet when you were dating him, he cost too much to date.
He did. I couldn't afford to be with him anymore.
Her body language matched her angst. Most of it. One part was off, a response she had given earlier, but not every truth was easy to confess. We were as close to the truth as Margot was going to allow me to get. I think I had more of the story than she had given her boyfriend.
She knew she would have to tell me the truth. She was here because she knew she had no other option. She was here because her East African stepdaddy, Johannes, couldn't help. So she needed her true father. She needed the black man she had read about in her mother's journals. She needed the bad man to ignore his wounds and weariness and fix this.
I had wanted to put that part of me to sleep. Last night had been too much. If I had died, she would have had to face this alone. But I had lived. And maybe this was part of the reason. I had enough of the truth, and I didn't like this bitter pill. It was hard to hear my daughter had a sex tape out there. It was hard for her to let me know what had happened. It was hard to not be angry that some motherfucker was doing this to her. Rachel Redman came back into the room, walked through our silence, singing the Star Spangled Banner. She went to the kitchen, came back with cups of coffee for all of us. In Amharic, Rachel asked my daughter,
"Have you eaten?"
In Amharic, my daughter replied,
"I'm hungry."
Rachel smiled and, in English, said,
"I can make you some breakfast, Margot. Can I invite my boyfriend, fiancé, up from the car to eat?"
I nodded. "If you want Kevin up here, he's welcome in my home." Rachel handed me my phone. I knew she had already read the text. It was a message from my co-worker, Esmeralda. I forwarded that message to Jake Ellis. "I had a feeling today was going to be like yesterday." My daughter hugged Rachel Redman, then looked at me.
"Our first breakfast."
"No, just the first one you remember."
"I made your breakfast all the time." "I don't remember." "I do. I don't want to eat and leave my boyfriend in the car. Go ahead.
Tell your pit bull to come up here and eat, too. I know you and he are short on money, so you're short on food. And I know if you're hungry, then he's hungry, too."
"He's scared to come up here."
"He should be. He should turn and run like Usain Bolt when he sees me.
Kevin thinks you're crazy. He attacked me, and I'm crazy? Said you might be a lunatic.
He didn't give me a good first impression, either.
His nose is broken. Tell him to be happy his neck is okay."
"I didn't mean for this to jump the shark. I just didn't know what else to do.
Tell Kevin I said to come up, or I'll go down there and pick up where we left off."
"You gonna let Rachel Redman cook for him, too?"
I nodded. "One of you can bless the food."
"You sure this is okay?"
"Depends on how you feel about me."
"You divorced my mother and never came back to look for me.
Is that what you think?"
"Not anymore. I see your actions, and I believe in action."
Tears fell, and she wiped her eyes.
"Action over words, Mr. Swift. I told you the worst part of me, and you didn't put me out."
I wiped mine, too. "Just like your mother. Hard, cold, stubborn."
"And she says I'm just like you."
I said, "We don't know each other. That's true. But you are the blood of my blood."
"No, we don't know each other. But now you know my darkest secret."
"But I used to know you."
"I don't remember."
Silence. I said, "That thing I did in Florida."
"What about it?"
"Never mention it again. Never say that man's name again."
"Why not?"
"The person I work for will kill you. Your boyfriend. Your mother." and the dog.
We don't have a dog.
I'm serious. You see how rough I look right now?
Yeah.